come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, which happens every Saturday night. You can find the archived episodes on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Podbay FM, anywhere that you find podcasts. You can find this. You can get a hold of us at facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show or on Twitter at Sat Freak Show. And you can email us, SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com. If you comment or ask us a question on any of those platforms, we'll read your comment later during Igor's mailbag, which is coming up after we talk about the movie. So let's start with the internet radio superstars.
Travis.
Sean.
Holly.
And I'm Colin. And tonight, since we're going round robin picking movies, I picked tonight's movie, and it was called Sorceress.
Dun, dun, dun.
From the year 1982.
Cue lightning, cue thunder.
Directed by a guy named Brian Stewart, who doesn't exist.
Does not.
So we just found out Brian Stewart is actually a...
combination of Roger Corman's son's names, Brian and Stewart. Actually directed by Jack Hill.
Jack Ooh. Hill, who did Foxy Brown, which we watched. Coffee. Big Bird Cage.
Jack Hill, he produced a lot of the AIP stuff, right?
Well, he directed a bunch of their stuff. Yeah, Roger Corman... produced.
Right.
Well, this was New World Pictures, right? So after he jumped ship with AIP.
Jack Nicholson, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I always get it confused. I'm like, who was AIP? Was that Roger Corman?
It was Roger Corman.
But that's Nicholson and Arkoff.
Nicholson and Arkoff. But Corman directed and produced a lot of those. Right. So they were, yeah.
Yeah. So Corman, for everybody who doesn't know, is a famous producer in the 1960s because it's
famous
60s
now,
and 70s.
Sir. Famous now.
Because he would, well, famously, I think what it was, A Little Shop of Horrors or A Bucket of Blood or one of those movies. He like came up with a title, had a script, shot the movie, I think, all in the space of like seven days or something like that.
It was like A Little Shop of Horrors was written and shot in 2 days just because they had a set that's like, we're still going to, like, we finished shooting this movie early. We
Which
got
is why
the set
it looks like a stage play.
Right at Elfike, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, that's, you know, that's
There's
old
a market
fashioned movie
for this
making.
Movie, and we're just going to give them what they want, which apparently is how this movie came about.
Oh, yeah. What? After Conan, like, they're just like, oh, my God. All we need is loincloth, tits, and fucking.
I can write it in a week.
Oh, my
says
God.
Says Jim
yeah.
Wynorski of Sorority House Massacre 2 fame and many other things. We read a list of his works on previous podcasts.
Yeah. He became a director, mm-hmm. but this is the first thing that he ever wrote.
Did he direct? Was there a Sorceress 2 or is that Sorcerer 2?
No, there's a movie called Sorceress that Jim Wynorski directed that has Linda Blair in it.
Yeah.
Nothing
I
to
think
do
it's
with this.
From the 90s or late 80s?
That was late 80s, I think.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with it. So he used the same title twice just to confuse the muddy the waters a little bit.
Of course.
I don't know what the hell. Yeah. Okay, but you were talking about Conan. So we need to, like, do we need a little primer on fantasy cinema up until the point of 1982? Because...
Well, was there I mean, because we had...
Hercules.
Yeah, you had your Sinbads and Hercules with the Ray Harryhausen. You know, I mean, they spent money, kind of, on those type of... almost what would be the same thing as the sword and sandals of today. You know, the Gods of Egypt would have been a Ray Harryhausen movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
maybe then people would have seen it.
Well, the Hercules movies, those are like... I can't remember
Hercules,
what the guy's name.
Hercules, Steve Reed.
Oh, yeah, Steve Reed.
Steve Reed movie.
Yeah, because he was a muscle man or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Weren't those Italian movies?
I think so. And,
Cause
but
I
then
remember-
what? So then they figured... because, I mean, then things got a little special effects-y, but then, what, with the Conan, with John Milius's Conan, it kind of, like, especially using a famous bodybuilder as your barbarian, you know, that's all of them, the Barbarian Brothers, and, you know, they just fucking whipped out all these movies about barbarian people just because all you needed was, like, loincloth, very little swordplay, some sheep and chickens running around.
You just go shoot in the desert of Spain or Mexico or something.
Or just in the woods, fucking the woods with a smoke, you know, fog machine, and like it's the Black Forest. You know?
We'll never cross that.
Yeah. I'm like, imagine what's in there. It's horrifying.
I just keep wondering where Conan came from, and I mean, to me, it has to go back to Star Wars. That somehow Star Wars made fantasy cinema like legit, but mostly science fiction in the late 70s, right?
Maybe that or Superman.
And somebody said, you know who? What we haven't dealt with in a while is sword and sandal movies. Now we have the special effects to actually do
to make people, you know, glow.
Yeah.
But even Conan, yeah, they had the big snake and the transformation, but even Conan really wasn't like special effect heavy.
Which is why that movie is so fucking awesome. It's why it holds up. It's like it still works because the special effects are understated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's magic in that world, but they're never actually like flinging spells at each other.
And that made everybody think, we could do that too. And it's like, no!
Subtle shit.
Well, that's because their idea, because it always seems like you said, yeah, the Star Wars, because more so than Conan, it seems like everybody else tried to use some sort of a cell animation, sort of like, here's my wonder fucking arrow that glows, and, or Lucio something Fulci's like, oh my god,
Conquest.
Yeah, exactly, Conquest. Yeah. It's got an awesome chick with her tits with fucking the sun mask that goes outside before the sun rises, and she stands out there and acts like she's raising the sun, so all the stupid, like, cavemen tribes. I was like, that's genius. That's a genius bad guy
thing
to do.
We've talked about this movie before, yeah.
Just because that's the great, that's the golden nugget I found in that movie.
Yeah, it's Colin watches these movies, so we don't have to.
It was pretty fucking bad. But, I mean, I guess...
like, what, Clash of the Titans was probably the last of the...
Well, that's the last of the Harryhausen movies, right? The stop-motion animation. The big budget,
fucking...
Well, he actually was able to do, in a way that I think people enjoyed, you know, through his late 70s Sinbad movies, and before that with the Jason and the Argonauts, and, you know, was it Sinbad and the Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, and then there was Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger, and then there was Clash of the Titans, right? And, like, that had to be started in like 79. It came out in like 81, but that was, you know, we had special effect, or fantasy creatures. I guess you had like, you know, your Krakens and
Medusas.
That you couldn't pull off any other way at that time. Yeah. And then Conan took the other tact where it was like, we don't need to have really any special effects at all. And we can pull off a fantasy environment. And then everybody, it seems like, said, let's make a sword and sorcery movie.
And mostly Italian. It was mostly Italian people.
Yeah, that your just hunter out. From the Gold. Future.
I feel like that's where the colors come from.
The Outlaw of Gore movies or whatever?
Gore.
I've always wondered, those are the book series. I always thought it was called G-O-R, Gore.
Yeah, they were shot at the same time. Oh, they're terrible. Because it's about like this modern-day professor who goes through a time warp and ends up as the Outlaw of Gore.
It's like the...
We've never gone wrong with a modern day professor.
A Connecticut.
Oh, dude, you know who it is? It's the fucking guy from Demons.
No,
the lead guy at the end with the sword on the motorcycle.
No, fuck.
Yeah, he's
dude, I'm going for
really.
It.
Yeah,
Deathstalkers. You guys seen the Deathstalkers?
No, but see, that's more of like where we're headed to with Sorceress, right?
Oh, dude, Deathstalker. I mean, Sorceress.
Also, Wynorski movie.
I think so. He did Deathstalker 2.
Deathstalker 2. Directed Deathstalker.
Deathstalker 2 is the classic out of the Deathstalker series. Deathstalker 2 is what really everybody remembers.
Is it Barbie Benton in that?
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay, dude. So here's where these movies come from. I'm going to narrow this down.
Bandied about around here.
There was
you watch these movies when you're 14 and you want to see tits for any reason at all.
The cover art or the poster art for all of these things, they use like Boris Vallejo and Frank Frazetta, who were these guys who did like the cover paintings for all these Conan books and fantasy
video
novels.
Games.
Well, they're still using them. Because
Boris Vallejo is genius.
When you think of fantasy art that's not, you know, Lord of the Rings or whatever, you know, you think of like what these guys painted. And so all of like the Deathstalkers, the Warrior Queens, the Barbarian Queens, had these paintings.
Fantastic and you're like, covers.
It's like some muscle bound dude with a sword and like, some half naked woman, you know,
and they're in a swamp, and there's a creature that you're never gonna see in the movie. And you're like, and this maybe looks a leopard. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, Then you see the movie, and this is where where movies, when you literalize and actually see people doing, you know, trying to do these poses, it somehow collapses the fantasy that's created by this magnificent artwork.
Aside from, you're like, I want to see this movie through their eyes.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Right? That's why I always say, hey, comic books are the better medium than anything. Better than books because you can see what's going on. Better than movies because you can actually have these fantasy worlds that don't look ridiculous.
That would be great if we could somehow come up with a drug where it's like filmmaker vision, and you flip a switch, the room floods with a gas, and then you can see the movie in the way the filmmaker saw it when he was making it.
Well, there was
it'll turn into the poster.
I don't know what happened to this, but Robert Rodriguez became like the custodian of the Frank Frazetta estate somehow, or whatever his art, where he puts on like South by Southwest does like a Frazetta museum. And he bought the rights to the animated movie Fire and Ice.
Awesome. Bakshi.
Which was Ralph Bakshi did it, but it was based on Frazetta paintings. The only thing is, when you see the movie, it's Bakshi's animation. They couldn't, you know, it doesn't look like an oil painting.
Right? Sure.
But I heard that Rodriguez was doing a motion capture version of it that was going to try and look like a Frank Frazetta painting.
Tits.
But that was like five, 6 years ago. And yeah. Unless
so it'll
still
take him another
10
years to figure it out.
And he's not, because he's directing.
He's working on the El Rey TV network that, you know, what is he doing, another movie? Dude. Oh, Battle Angel.
Yeah,
Alita
for Cameron.
Yeah, so what happened to Fire and Ice? There was a deal signed with Sony that they were going to distribute it.
It probably ended up looking
like
300.
Fucking movie?
It would. It would end up looking like 300. And that fucking sucks. Because I just don't want it to look like 300. I want it to look like Frazetta.
Yeah.
But not,
well, that's what I was hoping, that they'd come up with technology to somehow make it look like a moving Frazetta.
But, like, aside from, I mean, the problem with all the older ones is, like, aside from Conan, they never got big dudes to be like, he's a barbarian. It's like, well, he's an athletic looking dude.
Well, he's
like,
fit.
Yeah, a barbarian? Yeah, he looks like he jogs and, you know, he can do some pole.
Or yogs. Or...
Yogging. Yes.
Oh,
silent
Beastmaster. Beastmaster.
Oh, Beastmaster. Fucking Beastmaster. See, that's what I'm pissed. Like, why didn't we watch Beastmaster? Like, that's at least a classic and corny. This is just like sorcery. Like, eventually we'll have to talk about this movie, guys, and you can tell we're doing everything not to, because it's like, what is there to talk about?
Well,
there's two beautiful chicks who are two is one, or it's like a double mint fucking.
Yeah, so these, it's Lynn and Lynette Harris, who were Playboy playmates at one point in time.
Were they?
So that's what
shocking.
They were cast in this movie.
I was shocked.
Yeah, so
in my pants.
In the beginning of this,
hey man,
in the beginning of this,
tell us how you feel.
We're introduced to a character, the villain of the piece. His name is Trigon,
which is awesome. It's just,
is it?
In a red, it's cloak. So villainous. Come on, Trigon. There's that tra sound.
The guyliner this guy's got on.
Oh, yeah,
that may
guy
be real.
Liner.
I don't know. I've Bat seen some
Scara.
Guys just.
Yeah, the Trigon is the evil sorcerer who has somehow
impregnated a woman.
He impregnates a woman, and she gives birth to twin girls.
But now,
she
doesn't know.
This screws up his prophecy, because he's promised that he will execute his firstborn to the god
Calgara. Calgara.
Calcutta.
It was Calgara. Calgara.
Calgary.
Calgary.
Calagra.
His cabinet?
Anyway, what we're talking about, folks, is Karishna. Fantasy alphabet soup.
When exactly.
You just mix together, like,
it's
let's Kaligara. See. We'll take a, okay, what are threatening sounds?
We need
S's,
K's.
B's,
we need K's.
K's, T's. Travoknin, whatever.
Corsova, like, something.
And like, so.
What was that one guy's name?
My dad owned a car.
Catch All or Catchcom or whatever.
Catchcom. What yes, it was Catchcom, the robot friend. Hello.
Which one?
Yeah, which one? Cronus?
Well, Cronus is the.
I thought he was originally supposed to be the father. Because he shows up, and I thought he was the father of the two.
But he's just like the wandering
he's like the
wizard,
Jesus.
But
he's
still
he's the keeper, like, of the prophecy or something.
Yeah,
he's like the Moses of the fantasy world.
He really is. So weird. He's just, but he's like, he looks like he's wearing Indian beads.
Right, he's a hippie.
He looks like, he does look like Jesus or Moses. Like,
he wanders around with a staff, and he shows up to protect these two girls from Trigon. Now, in that initial, and I don't want to break down every single scene in the movie, but there is something in the initial scene where he says, like, what life am I about to take from you? You know, so apparently these two wizards get three lives.
Awesome. You do, right?
Right?
What's the name of that fucking movie? Dragon Slayer. We do find out in The Wizard, he's too old to travel. So this is a spoiler, guys. I'm sorry.
Don't spoil it. They haven't seen it. Well, nobody's seen that movie.
Everybody's seen Dragon Slayer.
No, they haven't.
Oh, fuck you.
If you gotta bring
it back. You're listening to the Sorceress podcast, you should have seen Dragon Slayer, one of the good, like, high-budgeted,
I've never seen it.
It's great. It's got the dude from Ghostbusters 2. Oh, yeah,
Peter McNichol.
He's the hero, the pole pick.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I want to see a movie with him as the star.
All right, we'll bring that to the show.
Bring it to the show. It's so great. I love that movie.
Wait, that or Ghostbusters 2? I was confused.
Oh, Dragon Slayer.
Can we watch Ghostbusters 2?
Maybe later. Tonight, I mean. Not after.
Yeah.
Not for this, no. But maybe later.
Well, Cronus, the wizard, the Gandalf-looking fellow, kills Trigon, one of his lives. He's not going to come back for 20 fucking years.
No, the woman does, the mother, right? Because he's actually fucking up Cronus with his, like, green stare, like, my evil eyes.
This is after her uterus was taken with a claw.
Oh, my God.
Something.
Yeah, thank you for, I was like, Jesus Christ.
It really was. Like, oh.
Why not just kill her?
By the bird warriors. They had to rip her uterus knights of up. Birddom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the one that was like, he'll be back.
Take her motherhood.
Yeah. I'm very confused.
It's like the forest. There's a haze over all of this.
Yeah. But the gist of
Trigon, instead of talking about the scene, so Trigon has a baby with a woman. He doesn't know that he has two until, like, whatever. He picks one up then, like, what are you hiding, woman?
Yeah.
And there's
Which
two of them.
Why are your breasts crying?
So he doesn't know who the firstborn is. So somehow he's got to determine which one's the firstborn. But yes. Cronus takes the kids. Well, after Trigon's first death has happened, Cronus takes the kids, very Obi-Wan Kenobi-like, and delivers them to a farmer. Basically says that he's going to be looking for these men warriors. But they're...
He's going to be looking for girls. They're girls. So make sure they don't know. Will, damn it.
Yeah. Cut to 20 years later.
And we won't even tell them the difference between a man and a female.
They should know they're girls.
We'll psychologically fuck them.
Show that they're girls. Like, that's what you want them to do.
What? Like, they won't know that
they should.
I don't know what you wanted them to do, but I thought the way that it played out was just fucking perfect.
Just perfect.
They literally don't know that they're girls. Even though, so they're skinny dipping and they're being looked at by, like, this satyr looking. What was that scene with, like, what's that he's got between his legs?
The kid?
It's a horn. But that can't be used as a weapon. That's a great scene, actually.
And they kick him in the face before
he... I was just worried it was going to turn. I was like, don't fuck this thing. God damn it. Ugh. That would be so distasteful.
We come to that line a few times in this movie. We're just like,
we
doing
do.
Here?
Well, because
were you going to bestiality? That was a very horny satyr.
Well, when you get to that, where bestiality hangs out on that line with other things.
But isn't that what a satyr does? Don't satyr use like music and shit to like...
I mean, later on, he is dancing with the three women out of nowhere.
That's why it's kind of like a devil analogy of devil seducing and all that jazz.
Yeah, he has a pan flute.
Yeah. That's kind of what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's but this one doesn't talk goat. At all, which I've never heard. I've always thought satyrs were normal creatures that could probably talk. He just goes,
he's got his mouth like,
it's really ridiculous. It's so fucking ridiculous.
It's hilarious.
The whole,
I don't know if it's
hilarious.
The whole
goddamn time. You cut to him, you just hear a little in the background.
Yeah.
Really weird. Oh.
Very weird.
Most fucking annoying character.
I want to know.
Oh,
who
played
that
so
guy.
Annoying.
And we already know that, and when I die in the age of the dragon, I'll return. And we just go there. We like go right to a temple.
Hard cut to 20 years
later. And it's like there's a sundial, and they're like, it's the age of the dragon. Like, he's back. And there was that really weak scene where, like, the people were like, oh no, the power Trigon. No. It looked like they were doing more of a, like, a miming the wall. Like, kind of like, no.
Well, you know that the acting in this movie is so subpar. Like, right off the bat, like, their line readings. Well, but
that's exactly line readings. But is it all bad ADR and not necessarily the actors? Because who knows what they sound like? We just know all this stuff.
Oh,
like,
no.
Apparently, they all sound Spanish because it was mostly Spanish actors.
It was shot in Mexico City.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think.
Well,
it's all English ADR.
But part of the problem is whenever you get, and this has always been my problem with fantasy movies. Like, I have a high buy-in level at fantasy because they talk.
I watch Xena.
Well, Warcraft just came out.
Oh, no.
Past, you know, what?
Oh, dear Lord.
I just said, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, no, the Warcraft movie, and I saw, like, a trailer for it, and it's like this, where people walk into rooms and start talking about shit, and you're like, what in the holy fuck are you talking
about? The Kraenar crystal.
Yeah.
Over the moon of Talos. It's what do they call it in Star Trek? Just a tech...
Techno babble
or whatever. Yeah, it's just like...
You're heightening the world. Like, so it feels... It's supposed to make it feel like it's a lived-in world because... They have all this mythology to
say. Yeah, they reference it with just Nala. Like, oh, they know exactly what you're talking about. The Emkron crystal.
It'd be great if that, like, whatever they're referring to just changed names every time they mentioned it.
That's funny. Fuck, dude.
That's what's going to happen on this podcast is
we're going to
explain some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that's the bit.
Yeah.
By the fangs of Falna. Or something.
I think that actually does happen.
That might actually happen.
Yeah, because, okay, of course, just like Conan style, their parents have to die from, like, the evil. This is what I don't get about the whole, like, hide them as men. Because it's like, so Trigon comes back, comes back as promised. And then they just know this guy has the two is one or whatever. Right. It's like why? How the fuck do they know?
Because
they've been looking
for 20 years and they finally figured out.
What's the point? But like they're like, make sure this doesn't happen. But they all see them for the other thing that is completely identifiable of what.
Yeah, it's not about the woman.
Like,
it's about
the
act. Two is one.
Two is one is what gives them away.
They go to the bathroom together.
What did that matter?
They even show that they fight in synchronicity. Because that's something that Krona. Because at first I was Kronos, father of Zeus, but I was like, no, it's Krona. They're just taking something else from mythology and just like, I know, an A instead of an OS.
Right. Yeah.
Ha ha, brilliant. My own world.
Moden.
Moden. I swear to God, he said Moden.
He said Moden.
By the power of Moden.
By the power of Moden. It happened.
Zeus.
Thorn.
Oh god, it's terrible. Yeah, I mean, but the line readings, I think, are guys trying to say this like really stilted, you know, fantasy era. What do you call it? Like it's like middle age,
just like hearken
it's Elizabethan sci-fi fantasy
in a weird way. Yeah,
and they just can't.
What's
do
his
it.
Thou's?
Right. Yeah. Well, they all talk like Yoda. You know, that's the other thing that goes into that, and it just sounds really weird. And then the whole thing's dubbed in a way that where. Characters aren't even talking.
No,
and
this
the dubbing,
below Italian dubbing.
Yeah, and the guys are speaking. They're not even trying to match the lips.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's just trying to explain more. Maybe they're like, "This movie's too silent."
It's like the speed is off. Like they said the exact same line that comes out of their mouth, but they're not looking at the screen. It's like, all right, these are your lines. Just say them.
Yeah,
and then they put them in there.
That's like filmmaking by the numbers. When you put together your product, and you're like, the audience says it's boring. Maybe it's too quiet. Let's just add some lines.
Yeah,
you know.
Necessarily need them to match because they're going to be women.
They'll see that they're
fighting.
They've already paid for their fucking ticket. They're fucked. It doesn't matter if the words match the mouths. You know?
Yeah. Oh,
which I do love that. Like, I mean, that's.
I did want to point out. I forgot about this earlier, but Trigon does have a sorceress. Wait, is she? Because the title of the movie is Sorceress, and
we're trying to figure out
how that comes into play at all, but. There
Maybe,
is this woman,
Calgon or Calgary, or
the woman who shows up, the deity. Yeah. There's this woman who, in her dress and all that, looks like a Boris Vallejo.
She is great, dude. That I'm like, oh, beautiful. That's why you make these movies.
Yeah.
Put them in some, like, Arabian shit. You show a little under boob. That way it's just like, oh, fuck. This is a little, like, it's not porno, but it's just like, oh, dude, under boob.
Or lets it see through.
It just has you.
Right, yeah.
Like
yeah.
I said, this is for 14-year-old guys. They're just like,
or guys of any age. Sorry, sorry that we subjected you to yet another flesh fest.
Whatever. Yeah. Oh, you're talking to her.
Flesh Fest. Copyright 2016 Saturday Night
Flesh Fest. That's what it's all about, man. It's all about cheap thrills. It's like we've got nobody, no story.
I know, it's exploitation. Violence and boobs? Yeah. That's what we know. We're going to see fantasy shit, and there's going to be naked women.
I want lasers, and I want boobs.
Yeah.
But you do wish there's some kind of a story? Cohesive, like, you know, at least these movies try to be like, you know, he's the prophesied one. Like, we don't even know why the 2-in-1. We just know, like, Krona has power, some kind of power of whoop ass, I guess, right? He's the blue power of whoop ass. So he's like, I'm instilling it in you.
Yeah, so he downloads be the 2-in-1. The some type of warrior.
That's a fucking ninja movie. Copyright 2016. Blue power of whoop ass. Blue power of whoop ass.
Yeah, so he downloads his knowledge of fighting skills into the girls when they're babies, but then again, after their parents have been killed, and he shows up looking like...
Zeus, an older
Zeus god, like or Moses. Moses.
Yeah,
and then he walks into the fire after imparting this.
That pisses me off because he's like, "Remember this word," and I'm like, "Is he dying right now? What happened?" Like all of a sudden, he's just like, oh, "I'm getting weak," and I'm like, "Oh, he's dead. Why is he dying?" It's like the what?
I was hoping it's gonna be like, "Remember this word."
Wait,
what word?
Whenever hope is lost, remember the word like Valeria. That's not it.
Vital. It's
this
Italian.
Is going to come into play in the third act of the movie.
Oh, dude. Which I forgot about. I really did. Like, right, so
it is kind of a surprise when they bring it up. You're just like, oh,
that's right. They were given a word. A word to end the movie.
They did so well.
Wrap it up. No more story.
Yeah.
Well, they're one word to end them all.
They're helped on their quest by, because of these movies, these kind of stories, because you have to pick
a
up
guild.
What do you call it?
Not a guild, a party.
The party.
Yeah,
right?
a traveling band or whatever. Yeah.
So they meet up with
the goat.
A guy who, well, you get
a dwarf who's not a dwarf.
He's a dwarf that's not a dwarf. He looks like a dwarf. Everything.
But he's a barbarian.
He's a barbarian.
Yes. Everybody's a barbarian.
And then they meet up with the actual barbarian. I get Conan stand in.
Kind of looks like Katz from American's Greatest Hero.
Oh, yeah, William K. Yeah, because he's got the
kind of looks like him.
Just a more muscular version. What was his name?
It started with a B, didn't it?
It was Yorick. Or
Elric.
Yorick.
I don't know. Yorick?
Yorick.
But that actor looked familiar. I was going to see if somebody knows.
Erlich. That's it.
We're going to get through fantasy soon.
I think they might have had a few versions.
What was the
Do we know if he's from other movies?
Baldur
the dwarf?
Yeah.
They say
Baldur.
That.
Yes, yeah. I promise.
I don't believe you. Baldur. That sounds like.
I promise.
Baldur's Gate. That's a fantasy video game.
It's Baldur.
Which came after this?
Baldur.
That's way after this.
Erlich.
Yeah. But so it's possible he's been in
other. Do we know if that barbarian guy's been from other stuff? Know.
Probably.
He looks really familiar.
Right? He's got a thing about him.
Yeah.
He's
a cute guy. They show his ass a lot in this fucking movie. There's some shit for the ladies.
Very comedic effect.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, she liked it.
Holly doesn't
see.
Very,
you could tell.
Very enthused. But there
she's
was
not
the
very tan.
But for the guys, there was the scene where the girls find out that they're girls.
Oh, that was great.
They have to wash up, so they take their tops off, and Erlich and Bomar
go
Baldur.
How did you not know that you were a woman, or didn't you notice the difference?
And they didn't know either. The guys didn't know. They're wearing like the short dresses. They have obvious boobs, and they're like, "You're women." What?
Yeah, nobody found out until this point.
Yeah.
Baldur was calling them lads the entire
time.
Nobody sees this.
If you just didn't wear a dress, they just assumed, like, oh, it's a guy, obviously.
Yeah.
It'd be
they
dressed like a
skull caps.
Right,
yeah. They had the caps, short hair. I mean, shorter, like, you know, what?
And they weren't showing their breasts until then. Then it became obvious.
The mini skirts didn't give it away.
It's still stupid that they didn't know they're women. It's like they had a father. It's like they didn't understand, why is that different than us? It's like that never came up. I don't even think. Did you ever have that conversation in your life? I just saw like, well, I'm not that. That's obviously something else. Like, you know, I didn't need somebody to say like, you're a boy. this is a girl. I never had that conversation.
I'm sure that conversation boys and girls. Like, no, what she's a girl and you're a boy. And yeah. That happens.
I don't know. I saw
Sean, you have, just mean, you Sean, just you have
really,
a little boy.
Just be really, I would have that conversation.
Yeah, like then, like, but I think it's back weird. When I was a kid, I just recall saying, you know, the whole like, well, they obviously, that thing obviously has long hair.
Were you pointing to naked
hair.
People? Like, was and this like, a thing? Yes. It's like you're 2 years old and going, well, that is different than no, what
you,
I have. Like,
I just think you automatically saw, like, a feminine, you know, like,
where
I saw,
you?
Like, I had He-Man toys. They had, like, just houses and cookery shit. I'm like, that's what?
Cookery.
You're not into action? And, like,
I mean, the action different. Figures wouldn't really give it away because it's like, well, no, that's the same. Well, no, that's the same.
Plus, yeah, I had He-Man and shit. I knew what a difference between a boy and a girl was. I watched He-Man.
Did your He-Man? Oh, I was gonna say, dude,
yeah. He-Man and She-Ra.
He-Man, yeah, fucking Tila and all that. Anyway, right. Off on a rant. I'm just saying that's stupid. Like some at some point, I think some knowledge like is self like like
you
obtained.
But it's more entertaining to, like, for the movie because
it's true.
It almost goes on inappropriately
awkward,
long.
Yeah,
those
awkward
scenes.
Situations.
Oh, that's not the most awkward.
It's like, do you not know the difference between men and women? Just like, oh.
Yeah.
Show us.
Well, like, that's what it felt like. They're just like, well, here.
Yeah. Well, I thought that the barbarian guy was definitely, but you know, I guess that's a fun scene, right? The chicks just start getting stripped to take a bath in front of the guys, and
yes,
the joke is good for like one scene.
I don't even think it's a good joke. I just like
it's
the,
not.
The
that's
awkwardness
what makes the four scenes that come after that involve it a little weird
because it just makes the characters like fucking. Dumb. Just dumb, like, I thought we were birds. What? Like, it's so stupid. Yeah. Like,
no, they do come off as completely naive, but they're awesome fighters.
Oh, they kick together in synchronicity.
Yeah, and they can, like, knock down 14 right. arm
And that back-to-back arm-length thing.
Oh, yeah, it's very I love Adam that. West.
Because everybody fine. Gets kidnapped.
Zap, boof, whiff.
Yeah, they all get captured at some point by the... The Trigon's guys, yeah, because they're gonna figure out like which one of them was the firstborn.
Oh, that's right. The
and they just burn her head and fire.
Yeah, because the whore betrays them, right?
And yeah, the one whore in the brothel where they meet the William Katz.
William Katz.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing I like
just
about
call William
these
Katz
type
guys. It's like the guy from Star Crash.
David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, no.
Well, Marjo Gorger.
Yeah, Marjo Gorger.
Dude, that guy might even be Deathstalker, too. I don't even know. I got to see. That. I swear to God, that guy looks famous.
That wouldn't surprise me. That's a Wynorski movie.
Yeah, he tends to take people and just like.
And he's really good. I wonder, could someone Google that?
I'll look him up.
Who are we talking about?
The barbarian William Katz, the curly haired blonde dude.
Erlich.
For I knew him well.
Now that we know his name.
Erlich.
Yeah. So they get captured. Wait, what?
Well, they know that since her face can't be burnt, that means she's the firstborn. Because that's what that means. My brother can't be hurt by fire because he's older than me. So we know he's the firstborn.
But somehow they recruit because there's monsters in this movie. They have like these little gorilla men.
Oh, they're just always around from the get-go.
Yeah,
there's one always around.
It doesn't show them recruited. You just know they're in
the one,
cahoots.
Because there's the one that follows her.
The lady. I don't know. Sexy.
Talisa?
We'll call her.
The sexy queen.
Sorceress.
Okay,
she is the true sorceress.
She's got like a little minion who's the monkey guy.
Yeah, with the full animatronic face.
Right, we find out later that they're also in the wild.
Okay,
because he has to go recruit the other one.
Well, that was his army.
Capture the girl, and they throw laughing gas at
coconut laughing gas.
Coconut laughing,
Oh, God, it doesn't get any... I'm telling you, like, you're listening to us describing
this
movie.
That's what I thought I was going insane.
It's this awesome.
Because these people, they start laughing, and then they're getting attacked. I'm like, why aren't the two scenes reacting to each other? I don't get it.
Why do you not
they're laughing at a joke sitting around.
Gorillas in the trees.
I didn't get that the smoke was laughing gas or something.
Well, she's like,
why would you?
And the goat's not affected.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. The kid. Erlich acted in 4 movies.
Nice.
This was his last one.
Oh.
I wonder why.
He did Baron Dracula, a lot of Spanish stuff. Golpe a la Mafia in 1980. Okay, Mr. Pancho.
Whoa. So he's a Mexican fellow then.
I don't think so. His name is Robert Nelson.
Local talent. Oh, Robert Nelson.
He's not Deathstalker?
Not
Roberto? Nope, he's not Deathstalker.
Roberto Nelson?
Roberto Nelson.
Never mind, he is nobody. He's just a good-looking chap.
And apparently this turned him off to filmmaking altogether.
Yeah,
well, I don't like it.
Showing my ass.
No. That spear came too close.
He had a hairy ass.
All right, so let's talk about bestiality. I know it silenced the entire room right there. All right, so there's the...
It's just, we're not Canadians.
It's amusing to me that this movie was written by clearly a very horny Jim Wynorski, because both the sadder... He's like hot for the girls in an embarrassing scene that comes later, which we're gonna describe for you in graphic detail. Also, the monkey has been promised...
The second born.
Yeah, basically, they're going to kill one of the girls to bring back the Caligara.
Yep.
And the other one, they're going to give to the monkey to please himself with.
Yeah, just a whatever.
A horny monkey.
To torture your heroes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I understand that. I think that is a, like, even me as a male, I don't know what it's like to be, like,
a monkey
raped or, like, you know, be victimized in that way. But just the idea that, like, this monster will have you, it's like, Jesus Christ. like, that's disgusting. You know, like, holy fuck,
we can't nothing for you. Give her to the monkey.
That's horrifying.
Well, on the other side of super horny people, you have the princess.
Yeah.
Talissa? Whatever. The evil princess.
The sorceress.
She seems to, like, just want to get laid like crazy.
Yeah,
but it didn't take that as far as I was hoping that it would go, where there were some moments for lines. Yeah, where she could have said things, you know, I can't think of
an example. And been turned away, and it could have been funny. And
she tries to, like, you know, she's like, to
Trigon. I can do all this from the New Teen Titans.
But women have other desires. He's like, but I can't. I've made a vow.
I made vows.
Yeah. So I'm like, she's gonna try and get with.
She just wants the D.
Ehrlich.
Yeah.
Because they capture.
Then
Ehrlich.
She sees him and she's like, oh, hey.
Oh, this is wait. They capture Ehrlich and then they try to impale him. On a spike, so
which is kind of brilliant.
That's why it's like this must have been how they did it, because it's like if the fucking filmmakers came up with this, well, bravo. That is the most torturous fucking Marquis de Sade shit I've ever seen in my life.
I really
greasing
was like,
up a pole, handcuffing his like arms and like legs or whatever to the pole. And then putting
a sharp
pike,
spear under his ass.
That way he'll slide down the pole and the pike will slide up his fucking ass and go through his mouth.
Oh,
that is horrible.
Every time I got
naked
close,
when this
I
happened,
cringed.
So
and
it's
it did, like,
cringeworthy.
Dude, it did. I mean, fuck anything in Hostel. This movie, I was just like, dude, it's getting closer and closer. No!
Yeah,
and the guy's like, wait, I'll tell you something. All right, stop.
And she's all like, don't waste him. I want him.
That's what.
Wait, no. Yeah. They find out he's royal blood.
That should have happened. Yeah.
They find out. They see his medallion that he was wearing. They find out he's royal blood, which they need to consecrate the virgin in order to sacrifice her.
Yeah.
But that's what I thought they were going with. She was going to be like, don't waste him. I want him. That's where I thought it was going.
Because she takes him back to her bedchamber.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's going to be a seduction. And you're like, where's this going to go? Like, because I thought, like, this guy was going to get lucky twice in one night.
Yeah.
But somehow he was going to have sex with the princess.
Because he's Ehrlich.
And then,
well, because that's how awesome fantasy works.
Right.
The evil queen fucks you, and you get the princess. It's kind of the dominating,
right. It's like,
you know,
it wasn't my fault. She fucked me.
I think that's where those characters really come from,
right?
It's like men are always the sexually dominant. So to have a woman be the sexually dominant, you're like, oh, you know, like, like, this is, you know.
Yep.
Let's get to know each other a little bit. That's when the man gets a little conservative, like, oh, you know.
Just covering up his other pecs, like, wait,
just
wait.
Fresh.
Travis is actually clutching his pearls right now.
No, that's, you're clutching the bathroom together. It's like, you know. Madam, please.
I don't feel comfortable right now.
But I love those characters.
Yeah.
There's something to that, right? That's kind of, that's actually,
I think,
like,
that's it. It is.
That's what the Wonder Woman character
stuff,
is. The Wonder Woman character is a superhero character that is sexually dominant over man, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
That's fantasy. And,
well, this leads
even
to,
even like women empowerment.
This leads to one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
Oh,
intentionally,
oh
I think. Because it
they
turns out
to.
That the two girls are able to sense everything that they see through each other's eyes, and they can feel everything that happens to each other. So while Ehrlich is plowing the trenches,
well, first hold on. First, like, they've the firstborn and Ehrlich have been kidnapped, and they're being fed this green liquid
called saline or something.
Soma. Soma?
Anyway.
Something like that.
Once again, the alphabet
it's
soup.
It's
like
Ceylon. It's the Mountain Dew of the gods.
It's the Mountain Dew of the gods.
Yeah, it's the brainwashing liquid
the
that they're drinking so they can, you know.
Well, just get some under his sway or something right, like yeah, that. So can, well, yeah. It's supposed to be like, you know what? I know getting fucked and being sacrificed sounds bad, but drink a little bit of this.
But just keep going.
Right up your alley. Yeah. You'll totally see what we're doing
and
here.
So and so the Empress, sorceress.
Yeah, she talks them into it.
Yeah, she sends Erlik over to this. Like, go do that. Forget me. Yeah. I don't want this. Like,
you have to make love to her. Yeah, and then sacrifice her.
Which that's against every sacrifice you've ever heard about.
And it should be a virgin.
Exactly. Virgins get sacrificed because there's power in them not being, you know, blah, blah, blah.
But
blah,
she
blah.
Has to be seated with the seed of a
royalty. But then why kill her? Because, I don't get it.
Because
Kaldara wants
said,
it.
Do it.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's because it's
I'm just saying. How
there's
are they,
a lion pterodactyl later in this movie.
Oh, don't even. You're jumping ahead, sir. Jumping ahead. You just confused our audience. Not that it wasn't confusing right when it happened. But all right, I'm just saying, the only reason you sacrifice a virgin is because they're pure and honest.
Right, right.
Jazz,
that's
right?
What it's makes sense. To be, that's, or at least that's what's been told
that's
to us
like
over the years.
Well, because that's the slight against God. Right. If you're dealing with a demonic force, the slight against God is the killing the pure one. Pure, or something. Blood, sex, magic. That's also why the guy don't fuck. Because they have power, like Rocky the boxer.
Yeah.
You don't fuck. Women, weak and legs.
Yeah, but
in this case,
it's combining the DNA of the deity. What's his name? Trigon?
The sorcerer.
The sorcerer. Yeah.
They're
combining him and the royal blood, and then that combined is the sacrifice, which is going to... they'll get more power. It's going to invoke the god.
But what's the power behind his royal blood? Who is he related through?
Yeah, somehow with his medallion. He's like from a line.
Just your medallion.
Well, because he said early on he didn't want to go back to his kingdom. Yes. So it implies that he's kind of like a prince on the run. Yeah, like he doesn't want that life.
I just didn't know if there was supposed to be like, the reason he can see the god army, which I still don't get. Are they going to be an undead god army? I'm saying, is he going to like fuck her? They're going to kill her, and then she's going to give birth to an army from Krakor?
They sacrifice, bring up Krakor, and then she raises the dead army?
I think so, yeah.
That's why they all come up in
that's
the
why.
End.
Why do they have to fuck her? I just don't get why they had to fuck
because
the princess.
Because it's a fantasy
it
film.
Is.
I really think you're asking too much of this plot.
Well, maybe not.
It's
because
fantasy.
It all
I need
is
to
for
know.
Not at the end.
Yeah, if you have a fantasy story, I mean, that's why they have. That's why they have MacGuffins, and this shit should be easy storytelling. You should just say, this thing gives me power. We want to go after this thing. A prophesied child will fucking stop me, like every Bible fucking story in the world.
We're still passing over the most orgasm. Awkward scene.
All right, Holly's going to set this up.
Am I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the twins share, they've already said they share visions. One can see where the other one is, so to speak. That's how they, you know.
Well, when they first did battle, that guy goes, 2-1. Or something like, no, they were as 2-1.
That's what
they said before.
That's why it was so easy to track them down, because everybody's just like, God damn, there's 2-1.
Like, it seems so obvious. It's weird.
So they've already revealed that they can see what the other one sees and think what the other what the other one thinks. But now we're understanding that they can feel what the other one feels. And we find that out because...
She feels it for like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That seems to be what
it was great. It was really long and uncomfortable.
Really long.
I was like, God damn.
Well, she's out. Moira? Whatever. The
Moira.
Other twin is out in
Moira.
The woods with Baldur and the horny goat man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I feel funny.
What is this feeling in my loins?
Which they had been saying ever since they met the barbarian William Katz. They're just like, I don't
I feel
get it.
Funny whenever he looks at me that way.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A feeling they never had before.
Yeah.
Why am I
so
slipping off my chair? Jeez Louise.
It was a good one. Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting.
So she starts moaning groaning and having a full-on
I thought she was
going to
start mad. And then, like, the two guys are like, what's wrong? And they're, like, looking in on her, like, looking at it. I'm like, dude, are they going to stare at her as she masturbates?
Well, he
thought
she
was... she's, like, rubbing herself and she's, like, gyrating. And
right,
at first he thought that she was in pain. And then he's like, she's not in pain. Oh. That's Erlik.
It is
I know that anyway.
That joke keeps on. That is Erlik.
That is Ehrlich.
Well, because
yeah. That is Ehrlich.
Because she did, like, come in the first 2 minutes. He's like, Ehrlich, for sure.
And like, then she's like, oh, no, not again. And he's like, yep, that's Ehrlich.
And the goat man is, like, so crazy horny.
He's going to rape her.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to go rape her.
Stop. She is under my protection. So he runs off into the woods.
He like, kicks dirt on her and then runs off into the woods.
Like a dog after he, like, soils the ground or something. It's weird.
He's mad.
Very weird.
It's weird.
Weird.
Yeah. That's a weird scene.
And it goes on for like 10 minutes.
It's a maybe long too long. Scene.
It's like, it's all right, we got the scene. Joke.
Yeah.
It wasn't a joke. That was for, like I said, this was 14-year-old boys cumming their jeans, like watching this.
That was just to give the 42nd Street audience enough time to do what they needed to do and then move on with the movie.
Yeah.
So, something.
Like, she's clothed while this happens. That's the only thing that she retains her modesty.
Still, this whole movie has that, like,
while shouting at the top of her lungs.
Yeah. It's a horn dog. I'm telling you. Well, from what we know of Jim Wynorski's subsequent
very
career,
true.
Oh shit, you're talking about
Sorority House Massacre.
Nighty Nightmare.
Yeah.
And you said like Blair
the
Lesbian
Bear
Project.
Bear Wench.
A Paranocker Activity.
Yeah.
Wait. Busty cops yeah. Go Hawaiian.
Busty cops go Hawaiian.
Bear Wench.
Why does everything go Hawaiian?
Cleavage Field. Everything goes Hawaiian.
Just Hawaiian.
Right? Everything goes Hawaiian. Jack Frost went Hawaiian, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
That was the second one.
Anyway.
Jason never went Hawaiian.
He didn't. Yeah. We could still do that.
Yeah, why can't we do that? That'd be
They're still making
wouldn't look good in
Board Charles. So anyway, the massive climax of this movie happens when all of our heroes show up at the same place together. Moira arrives with the barbarians. The goat man brings the sheep. And literally, he brings the sheep.
He like calls the town together.
Yeah, yep. And the town is based on goat farmers.
Well, wait, hold on. Before he gets to that, like, I think they're in the process of going to sacrifice the firstborn. The second sister, she shows up, and then they're like, the monkey's there, remember? Yep. And he's like all horny for it and everything, and they like, she ends up getting sucked underground.
Yeah.
Baldur.
Yeah.
And the monkey gets all pissed off. She's like, no, I have no time for your antics.
Yeah, because he was promised the second
right,
born.
Right.
Like, all the guys are laughing at the monkey because he's not going to get laid.
Yeah. And so the sword, Baldur's sword, who is, just happens to be sitting around, like the monkey grabs it and runs off into the woods.
I'm joining the good guys.
Yeah. Remember this?
Because he has the conversation in whatever kind of animal language. With the satyr.
Right. He runs to the other monkeys.
Who's dancing with three beautiful women.
They're dancing around him.
He's got his flute and they're dancing around him again.
Well, they're getting ready to fuck him.
Probably.
Right. There's a process to it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But then he gives him the sword and then he kind of marches on his way. He's like, he gathers the
Yeah, there's that weird little, I don't even know.
I don't know what that is. It's very weird.
But I'm glad
like
you mentioned
Peter
the
or the
right.
Pied Piper. He goes past the buildings and everybody comes out with their sheep and follow him.
Because he does have his little pan flute that they don't actually play the music for it. But you see him playing
it. I think one time he's playing it.
Like he's playing it, but there's no audio.
Yeah, I know. For this scene, I'm just saying one time earlier in the movie is the only time I heard pan music.
I remember hearing it. But
I don't know if it was when people were bathing, or it might have been his first scene or something like that.
Sure.
But I'm glad you mentioned the getting sucked under the ground because that was my favorite scene. Like,
if I was a kid,
I tried to put myself in 13-year-old Travis's head, and that would have been the scene that captured my imagination. Like, them being underground, they're like, we're in the undergrounds, the catacombs.
There's all these mummies buried in the wall.
For some reason, the catacombs are so far. There's two fire pits.
There's smoke
pots. They're close to the center of the earth.
Yeah, we're just lava. But I did like how eventually those zombies did come to life and attack them. There was one cool shot. It was like three edited together shots of just like close-ups of the zombies, but they had that nice, like, blue-red lighting. And I was like, holy fuck, this is awesome!
Yeah, that was actually my favorite scene.
It was awesome.
It was in the catacombs. It was in the catacombs.
It was fun.
I liked
the dead people.
I just like, because that's something I feel like even is missing in today's Sword and Sorcery. It's like, where's the undead army? Like, we have it in Game of Thrones. For sure, but but it's the White Walkers or whatever. Right. But like,
at least it's an undead army.
No eyes, I'm all about the undead army or skeleton guys. And I'd actually have to say, like, despite everything, these guys kind of looked better than the undead army and Army of Darkness. But that's because Army of Darkness had fuck tons of an army.
Yeah.
Where these guys had, like, I don't know.
Some of these guys 10 had 15.
Big heads, like 11.
Though. Well, oversized like skull heads.
Dude, but still, look at Army of Darkness. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. Well, they had, like, they have puppets that they have, like, walking in the
I thought they looked good when they were actually, like, in, like, entombed. Like, when they were up against the wall. It looked more real.
Right, and them all when coming out is very cool.
That was cool.
When
they became more mobile, then it got a little more fake. But at first, that was really good. Yeah. I thought that was great makeup.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Well, this is just setting up the big final fight in which the two deities... Did we know that there were two deities? We knew there was Kalgara.
Yep.
Well, we knew of it.
Vitaris.
We knew a secret word. We knew the word. We didn't know anything about what it meant or who the fuck.
They're on their way. What stops them from sacrificing her?
Well, the girl down in the catacombs hears the voice of Kronos, Krona, who says, "Remember when everything is bad as it's going to get? Remember the word."
Right.
And she goes, Vital. And the girl upstairs is being sacrificed, like, Vital. And that breaks the spell. Yes. So both her and Erlich are out of the
doesn't explain why Erlich is out of it, but anyway.
But it also summons Vital in the stars. Liger.
Griffin. Kind of a griffin.
Pterodactyl.
Tiger. Griffin, bat, lion. It's a pterodactyl lion.
An animatronic effect.
It's a hand puppet.
You ever seen, from what I've read. I've never seen this movie, but I've seen the cover. Have you ever seen the movie cover called Wizards of the Kingdom or something like that, where there's a kid on a blue?
Yeah.
It looks fucking kind of exactly like the first thing I thought. It's like Wizards of the Kingdom.
There's this lion thing. But, well, actually, the one on the poster, it looks more like an actual lion. This is like
the one in the poster looks like a tiger with wings.
You guys have seen this poster?
Yeah.
It looks like a tiger with wings.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But this thing shows up with big fat wings
and a lion. He's stoic.
Yeah.
He's very like hangs out with stars. He's a god.
Very like, I'm just gonna see what happens.
Trigon summons Kalgara
by
killing he sacrifices royal blood. Being Talissa or whatever.
Yeah.
His hot, sexy sorceress.
Yeah, he just sacrifices her.
Yeah. Kills her and pushes her in the fire.
So what does that mean? Does that mean Kalgara is less powerful or something?
I think so.
Was that the only thing it means?
I guess because somehow the ending that was foretold to us the entire way through this movie still takes place even though he didn't get to kill the firstborn.
Yeah.
And then this gigantic head with half a lizard kind of skin. This woman shows up in the sky. But she shoots fucking laser beams from her mouth.
She does. Green laser beams.
And explodes stuff all over the compound. Yeah. What can Vitara do?
Vital.
He's got green lightning from his eyes. He shoots at her.
Was it like blue?
He shoots force lightning. It was a lesser green. It was pistachio.
Because I thought they were blue.
It was pistachio.
Their power is blue.
Spiderweb type lasers.
Force lightning. Boom. Just
she's
like
gone.
That. Yeah. Blows it's just amazing. You have like this moment in the movie where anything could be happening up in the sky because you never see like the characters reference what's going on up there really. Aside from the explosions that are happening.
They happen.
There's nothing really to say that, like, that all wasn't shot later.
Right, for sure.
Yeah. And just, like
nothing happens. Put something in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think that's part of why Jack Hill wanted his name taken off the movie. He complained that the special effects weren't finished. There's shots where, like, when you're in the market and you see, like, a bunch of trees in the background over the top of the city. The city is, as far as the set went, and apparently there's supposed to be, like, matte paintings or something, like, up above that Corman was don't need that. Like, look, it looks fine.
That costs money.
That costs money. We got to have this gigantic tiger thing at the end of the movie.
Yeah, we got to save money
or
for that.
Or that was in the reshoots. I don't know.
It's a hand puppet.
Yeah.
It's a hand puppet.
So,
Look at that thing. We're looking at the poster right now. What's that? Is that the monkey dude down the bottom?
Yeah, that feels like the monkey dude with an axe.
That's crazy.
We got a half-naked woman.
One woman.
Being threatened by a monkey dude
and a snake.
Axe.
It is like a low-rent Boris Vallejo painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pterodactyl seems out of place.
I don't know. To me, that's the movie. There's like nothing even
to. There's
is
a
that?
Joke at the end.
I feel like the whole movie led up to that joke.
Probably so, right.
I have a joke. Probably. Let's write a movie around it.
Yeah.
All right. So Sean's going to tell us the way that this, the great joke at the end of the movie.
So I mean,
oh, wait, how do we kill Trigon?
They blow up Caligara. Trigon is stabbed.
They shoot him in the back with an arrow.
Oh yeah,
both
the two
of them
the two that are one shoot him at the same time with arrows in the back, and he disappears. Is it his second life? Is it his third?
We don't know.
Never.
Sequel.
No. Always okay.
The door's open.
Door's open for a sequel. And I think everyone's kind of hanging out. And then Ehrlich comes out, arm around waist of both Tiffany and Tawny. I forgot their names.
Maria.
I
don't
know. Myra. Yeah. Myla.
Moira. Whatever.
Taffy
Moira.
And Tina. Let's,
the,
yeah,
two. The, twins, yeah. the twins.
The twins.
The sorceresses.
And what
one?
Does, was it Baldur or that says.
One wasn't good enough?
One, yeah, one wasn't good enough. It's like, don't you know? They're two as one.
Two
of them are one.
It does make sense, though. If you're going to fuck one and the other's going to feel it, you might as well fuck one.
Might as well.
Right.
And I'm so glad.
The possibilities there.
And I'm so glad that right after that credits.
Oh, yeah,
there's
right.
nothing else
yeah,
that can be done.
Fucking over.
There are
yeah.
movies
over
that are made now and have been made back then where they would go on a little bit after that joke is made to see like where everybody ends up. No. Joke made, credits done.
Which that is what I like about old movies. It's like story's over, bye folks.
That's it.
Like who
I
gives
like
a
that.
Fuck what happens after them? Monster's over. I don't need to be
that's
like,
what, I mean,
well,
you may wait
are
until,
you going to go through with the divorce?
Right. You may wait until 1 hour and 38
in
minutes into the movie for the climax to happen. But as soon as it does, those credits are going to start flying, which is great for me.
It's like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, let's give him the credits. Let's go. Be done.
All right. Well, I guess
that's
anything else to say about
fuck, no.
Sorceress?
We're not still not sure who the sorceress is, but okay.
It was the princess. I don't know.
I don't
remember what she did that was like sorcery.
She raised Trigon.
Yeah, but after she died.
Trigon. Whatever.
She did.
Caligari.
I guess.
I thought
she said, do we begin? And they started banging on
back.
Symbols.
Whatever,
and,
guys.
I thought that
fuck.
Was just prophesied that she didn't have to actually do that. She just knew where it was going to happen.
I don't know. They called her sorceress.
Right, she just showed up, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, she was the only person referred to as sorceress.
She did have that little liquid that they poured in the fire to see which was, that was kind of magic.
She was the one sorceress. Just because she was referred to as sorceress, I'm going with. She's the sorceress.
But she's like, you know, ancillary character. It's just like, damn, all right, we're going to call it sorceress. Although, apparently, according to what the information is, like fucking Roger Corman went to a high school and pulled the students on the list of names he had for this movie and was like, what would you like it to be called? And they all picked sorceress, and that's the label that got slapped on this movie.
Well,
so it doesn't
but
really
that was, he did that before I think they even shot the movie, right?
It doesn't say when.
Oh, I thought it was he went to a school and said, okay, of these 14 things, which one would you pay to see as a movie?
So, like, they got a title and then went and shot a movie?
He said sorceress, and they're like, all right, that's what we're doing next.
It doesn't necessarily mean they wrote anything towards sorceress, you know what I mean?
Just like that one, people will pay for it.
Right. We'll just call it sorceress. We'll put whatever the fuck in it. Lion, pterodactyls, go.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Jim, go watch Conan.
Yeah,
and then
take notes.
You got a week?
Do
it. Write me a script.
A week and a bag of Coke, go.
It helps if you've seen Star Wars. Rip off some moments. What? You're our father? They find out that Trigon's a father.
Oh,
it just shows you how well it's done in Empire Strikes Back at that moment where the hero finds out the villain.
And they're very okay with it, too. Like, you're my father? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You look like 2 years older than me, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're mystic. You came back.
Plying her with the green glowing.
With the green stuff, yeah.
All right, so time to summon our mail carrier, Igor. Where are you?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Okay, thanks, Igor.
Thank you, Igor.
No joke this week?
Fuck him.
I'm very disappointed.
This movie kills jokes.
I'm not talking to Igor anymore. We're not doing so good.
All right, so Igor is.
You guys haven't been working out? I thought things were going well.
No.
It's kind of a sore subject with Sean. We probably shouldn't bring it up right now.
Yeah, he keeps leaving the lights on, and it's pissing me off. I'm done.
Bravo. All right, so.
What do you got, Karnak?
Regarding our Watchers episode, Susan Darko writes in and says, Oh, okay. In the book. Okay, so we were wondering why the fuck the monster was pulling people's eyes out.
Yeah, we had
questions about this movie. Hopefully you read, listeners.
Sounds like it.
So Susan read the book, and she says, in the book, it did this because of its self-awareness as to how hideous it looked. And it basically was pissed at people for seeing it.
Very psychological. Yeah, I like that. That explains a lot.
Does that make the movie any better?
No, not at all.
It doesn't even make the story better.
No. Yeah. It does make the book sound more interesting.
I'm not reading that book.
it's vain. It's a very vain monster.
I'm ugly.
Very self-conscious.
No.
What a dick.
Also about Watchers, Crypticus writes in and says...
Hello.
All right, so we had posted a picture of the monster. That fleeting shows that one frame, 3 seconds.
The only frame we had.
He says, I remember there was a better shot in an issue of Fangoria back in the day, but the monster sucks so much, it's not worth seeking out.
Well, they absolutely pulled that magazine off the shelf.
No,
God damn it, you'll ruin it. We need people to buy the movie.
Yeah.
The editor was fired that week.
Yeah.
Who released that set photo?
Check out our Watchers episode for even more information about Watchers and its lack of a monster.
Check out Watchers to see Watchers.
All right. And G-Money writes in on Twitter, Abominable seems very freak showable. I don't know why, but I've always loved this flick. Jeffrey Combs and Lance Henriksen cameos aside. Abominable, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's Ryan Schifrin, who's the son of Lalo Schifrin. Lalo, who wrote the music, The Dirty Harry. Okay, we're going to Amityville Horror. Anyway.
Right. Is it about Sasquatch? Movie.
It's about Sasquatch. It has Matt McCoy in it, who's now in a bunch of commercials for some kind of medication. I saw it. I don't really remember liking it all that much, but I remember Shadow. There was, he looks like a redneck kind of, with a lot of fur, but he's very tall. Mm, Lance Henriksen's like a fisherman or a hunter or something. It's like, it takes place at these two houses, and the snowman's like attacking people. Mm. It's very like Friday the 13th kind of. Yeah.
Very weird.
All right.
I saw it a long time ago. Didn't really stay with
Jeffrey Combs, Lance Henriksen. Yeah. Sounds.
I'll watch it.
I'll give it a look.
Maybe. Eventually.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, for sure.
Look for that. We'll look into it. December 18th.
And thanks for writing in. And if you want to write in, again, we're at facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. Talk to us about any of the current or past episodes, and we'll read your comments on the air. Also, Twitter, @SatFreakShow, and SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com for email. So now we're going to do our world famous and renowned wrap-up segment, where each one of us is going to get to sound off about Sorceress. So that's going to begin with Travis.
I had my time for watching these dime a dozen fantasy movies.
And that there's a dozen more of these?
Dude, there's tons of these. That's why they're so bad and there's so many. They're just fucking horrible.
We forgot to mention The Sword and the Sorcerer. That one's not too bad, if I remember.
Yeah, I haven't seen that because I literally cut it off at some point because I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. They're not doing this. I'll just watch Conan, Dragon Slayer, Legend, the few fantasy. There's
Barbarians?
Like, there's fucking five. No, I won't even watch the goddamn Barbarian. I don't watch Barbarian Brothers. I think my brother did. My brother loves fucking shitty fantasy. Just like vampire movies and werewolf movies, my brother was
Aitor,
fucking...
Aitor the Fighting Eagle?
No. Yeah, because I really don't... It's one of those things where... I'm not sure the genre that I like, that I will watch anything in that genre. I don't know if I have... And some people do have that, like, it's fantasy? What? I'll watch it all.
Tom King!
What's that?
What?
What'd you say?
I didn't say a word.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, it's got to be funny. You got to say it.
No, I didn't say a word.
You said talking?
No.
I believe he said cocaine?
No.
Yeah.
No?
Well,
only I know the joke. And it's...
Well, that's not fun for the audience.
That's fun for me now.
Great. It's moving on. I fucking hate this movie. It's not even like somewhat entertaining to me. It was laughable how horrible it was, I guess. It was fun in the setting, but it's not... I don't know if I find fun in movies that I'm joking around with other people how bad it is. I mean, I mean, I like some bad movies, but this is just a badly made movie. It's not just a bad movie. It's just like, holy fuck, we don't know how to make a movie. Like, we just don't know. We don't know what a story is. We don't know editing. We don't know ADR. We don't know special effects. We don't know.
Our main characters don't know they're women.
Dude, they don't know they're fucking women. So, you know, yeah, this movie is a pill to me, dude. Fucking very horrible. Ugh, it's so bad. I can't even recommend it as a laugh. Unless, if you find, I'm actually going to look for Mystery Science Theater 3000. This has to be.
You would think.
Although,
if they are a dime a dozen, I don't know how they would get to this one and not other ones.
Well, they do lots of other ones. They do the Deathstalkers and the Mystery Science Theater 3000. This is prime for
that
show. It does
have Jim Wynorski behind it. That's got to mean something.
Some of his stuff has. Oh, the Deathstalker ones do, I'm sure. Whatever. That New Horizons or Concord Pictures or whatever. New World.
Yeah. But I would even go for...
The whole catalog has to be up for...
True.
I would even go for Deathstalker over this movie. It's just... This movie's fucking horrible. It's a blight.
It is a blight. Oh, Sorceress.
Sorceress.
I'm not the biggest fan of fantasy movies, but this one was interesting. I can only, I think, recommend it. I don't know. I don't know how I would feel about this one, watching it alone. Some of this movie is insane.
Oh, you'd watch some of it alone.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd watch it alone with a bottle of lotion.
Oh, shit. Damn. We know what she's talking about.
You are in... And if you don't watch the movie, because they pretty much explain it to you beat by beat. Some of this is insane that they would, that some of these scenes go on this long and some of this stuff. But it's so insane. I almost have to recommend it just to watch. Like, because I don't have the experience of watching the other dozen that this dime will buy you, I would recommend this because it's insane. It's insane.
Can I actually
make... There's a fucking pterodactyl lion at the end of this thing.
Yeah.
It shoots lasers, and there's an orgasm scene that goes on for 10 minutes. Like, I don't think I can't... Listener, I cannot sit here and say you shouldn't see this, because you probably should see this if you are listening to us now. So, I think I recommend it. I think you have to. It's so batshit crazy, you should see it. I laughed. I laughed a lot. I recommend it. Go watch it.
Did you have a comment, Travis?
I was going to say something really quickly about how, like, an even better movie than this, if you want something really nice, cheap fantasies, watch on YouTube the Dragon Strike companion video. TSR board game. You never seen that?
No.
It came with a VHS movie. Yeah. Oh, it's fucking great, dude. It's like this is the last vestige of really cheap fantasy movies in the board game. Like, wow, that's great. Yeah, and it's got special features or special effects. Well,
look for that at local garage sales.
Yeah, dude, or on YouTube, like I said.
Sorceress. I can't believe you guys made me watch this. My favorite moment in the whole movie was when Sean was so distraught at the end and said, "Why doesn't the pterodactyl lion get to shoot lasers?"
Because he's just growling.
He waited so long.
That was my favorite.
She's laying waste to everything, and he's just like,
And then he finally shoots lasers, and Sean's day was made.
I was very happy.
I was happy for you in that moment.
Finally. It's like, what does he get to do? Hang out and fly in the sky? Didn't seem fair.
Oh my god, the acting was terrible. I couldn't follow the story. I know they tried. I couldn't follow it. I don't know who anyone's names was. I don't know. I don't know what was happening.
I think we pegged it down.
I still don't know.
I think we got it.
I don't know.
I still don't think that guy's name is Baldor.
That is the only one I'm sure of.
I don't think
Baldor.
I don't recall that name being said at all.
I think they only say his name like once.
Maybe.
Baldor.
I don't know.
I'm not even going to look it up. I'm just going to go with it.
Baldor. Yeah, you might as well.
I feel like if they had picked one thing to be good at in this movie, maybe I would have liked it. Like,
they were trying too hard to entertain us. Is what you're saying.
Yeah. That's the problem.
I'm not blind. I know. I like a good pair of boobs, like the next person. But I didn't even like their boobs. I'm sorry. Oh,
now I will actually have to stand up for her. That was the best part of the movie.
I think it's because they were so stupid. I don't... Maybe. Like, they were supposed to be...
that's not what I asked for.
No, but they were supposed to be, like, these awesome fighters. I would have been happy with some good fighting.
Well, did you see there was something called a martial arts choreographer in this movie?
There was. Oh, one of those fight scenes. I can't remember.
That was somebody's unemployed brother that needed a job. Yeah, but that's what that was.
Decent. For
no,
like
it wasn't.
For this type of movie, I've seen worse.
This is at the bottom of the barrel of fantasy.
This is pretty low.
This is, like I said, Deathstalker 2 is fantastic compared to this.
I wanted one good thing. I wanted one good thing. Maybe good dialogue, good fighting, one good thing.
That nugget of sadder makeup.
Sifting through that for that nugget of gold.
There was the fucking lion. When the lion shows up at the end, it like...
The lion bat? No.
Lion bat?
No. Nothing. Nothing. There was not one good element in this movie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to pass.
All right.
I concur.
Well, okay, so I have trolled the depths of some fantasy movies, but here's the thing. Like I said before, and I think I keep saying this, like fantasy movies and me traditionally don't get along. Mm-hmm. So maybe, but this could put you in the headspace for why I'm going to recommend this movie, because I don't like fantasy movies.
Exactly.
Right? I like the Lord of the Rings movies. Okay, yeah, I don't like the Hobbit movies. Those bore the shit out of me.
Horrible.
Most fantasy stuff just kind of it rubs me the wrong way in some way that I just don't understand it. They're talking about shit that's like, yeah, and it's all very serious. So somehow my entry level into this movie was, and it was in a weekend where I was watching like Conquest, and I can't even remember what the fuck else, but somehow. My wife was sick and we're sitting around or going through YouTube and watching these movies. And I'd heard about, you know, Sorceress and Conquest. And so we're watching them. And this one cracked me up. Number one, because it's a fantasy movie, but it's also like a sex comedy kind of but it has like intentional humor and it has unintentional humor. I think, yeah, it's inept as far as like, nobody can act. The writing is, it's there, but it's like, it's overcomplicated. I think that's the thing. There's too much going on. It's like, you just need to simplify this down. The reason why the whole Joseph Campbell myth structure, which you have to rely on when you do a fantasy film, works is because generally it's simple. When the kid has to leave his village to go slay the dragon, he's the only one who can do it. Yeah, because of the prophecy, right? Yeah. This one's like too fucking complicated. Try to invent its own mythology, and it's like who and what, and you're losing track of the reason I don't like fantasy stuff. But this one I thought was consistently entertaining. Just as I was watching, it's like, you know, you can sometimes they hit, and most of the other, and I haven't seen Deathstalker 2, but most of the other ones that I see, they hit like a certain tone that they kind of carry with them the whole way through the movie. It's always the guys in the loincloths running around, and there's somebody else on horseback chasing them down with spears and throwing, magic bolts at them or whatever the fuck. But this one was like, just weird enough that it kept me interested. The costume designs are like just insane. There's they'll mix Egyptian, Greek,
the cultural.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, with the Middle Eastern, with
which that probably just proves that they didn't make anything for this movie. That was already in their
and then
like,
they took like
closet.
The great value version of Norse mythology.
Yeah. It's just basically bizarre. I think maybe that's what kind of kept me going. It's like maybe the other ones are more
Modin.
Are more actually Modin. Production designed, or this one's like what the hell? But it throws in a little Chewbacca like monkey dude with an animatronic shows up, and you're like. What? And then there's a horny, sadder goat dude shows up. And you're like, what? Then, then Moses shows up and you got two Playboy playmates who don't know that they're girls and have to show off their boobs as many times as they can. I mean, you got the evil wizard. You've got like, go from like, I like the expenditure. Yeah. I'm going to say they spent money on the market, the bazaar scene, like all of that. Was like, I don't want to say it was really well done, but it was like there was more effort put into that than
more
I
expected.
More
attention to details, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like, this actually had some kind of a budget.
You know what? There was the budget's for, guys. It's four fucking sticks and a red striped blanket on top of those four sticks. That's your market. That's the bazaar. You just do that in a bunch of, it's like, there's like no budget to a bazaar scene. Any biblical movie is just, oh, like blankets covering sticks.
We got to pay all your extras.
But there was like a movement. They had to go somewhere else to be like the center of the square.
Yeah, I did see that scene. It was kind of like, if it was the 60s, there was
geography.
Right,
geography to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was impressive.
And there was the brothel. That was all.
True.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, and the fact that it just kept on, you know, introducing something new, it felt like, every, you know, before you get bored. Basically, before you would go like, okay, I'm kind of, eh, what's going to happen next? They would introduce like living dead guys all of a sudden out of nowhere in the living in the catacombs. And then the complete what in the holy hell is going on when a giant fucking bat lion shows up at the end and laser effects, people shooting stuff out of their eyes. All of that was, yeah, I'm not saying this is good, but I'm saying that this is a good, bad movie where somehow the thing is so bad that it rises to a whole nother level of entertainment. And this one totally worked for me. So is it a personal thing? Probably. I don't know. Sean gets me on this one. You understand?
It is
so fucking bizarre. It's a lot of fun. When I was watching it with my wife, I laughed my ass off the whole way through it. We were all laughing our asses off as we watched it tonight. So I think there is something there. So I would recommend to adventurous freak show goers, Sorceress. Just don't expect a good movie, but a fun movie because it's bad. There we go.
Don't show it. Freak show it.
Exactly. So next week, we're going to watch a movie that's chosen by Travis, and it's going to be called
Guyver 2 Dark Hero. We're returning back to the story of Sean, whatever his name is.
Sean.
But no Mark Hamill this time.
No Mark Hamill.
Damn it. Aww. Son of a bitch. He was best. It's some sort of space armor.
I forgot about that line.
So good.
Yeah, dude.
But the sequel is like closer to the books just because they have a less... The budget's smaller so they can be more accurate.
No budget smaller than the first one?
Yeah. But, well, there's no stars at all. Oh. Not a single one. It's starring James Hader, the guy that wrote the first X-Men movie.
David Hayter.
Whatever.
The voice of Solid Snake.
Yeah. But okay. Also wrote X-Men, the first X-Men movie, and the Watchmen script that they used or whatever. So this guy's got geek cred. It impressed the fuck out of me. I've never seen this is the first time I ever saw, like, this guy was a superhero, but he also wrote superhero movies? Like, that's fucking geek cred to the max, dude. Imagine that. So we're going to watch it.
So we're evaluating that next week. And until then, the basement is going dark.